The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we talked a bit about the tenant in situ scheme last week and the idea that landlords who feel they must get out of the market, certainly by next March, are selling their properties, and they hope that the tenant would be able to stay in place if the local council agrees to buy it. But that has not been happening because councils quite simply have run out of the cash to do so. So what is going to happen? Where is the pressure coming from on landlords and tenants? What will happen in March? Carl Dieter from Irish Mortgage Brokers is with me now. Carl, good morning.
Hey, Pat.
So how do you read the situation for landlords looking forward to next year and the pressure they feel they are under?
Well, I think landlords effectively are looking at the writing on the wall. And for many of them, what is being described as coming down the tracks, it is kind of worrying. You know, you're being told that once you rent out a property, you're in there for 6 years and you can't sell during that time unless you face hardship, which will be defined in the legislation. Now, anytime legislation has to define a de facto version of hardship for you, you know, you're now looking at a serious box ticking exercise where you might not be able to make decisions about your own assets, your own possessions. And that scares people.
Now, could that be constitutional, that they can actually decide that you cannot sell your property because you're not hard up enough? I mean, it just seems bananas.
Well, look, I mean, in Ireland, we suffer nationally from twin pathologies when it comes to policy in general. The first one is that the government has the answers. I mean, I have yet to hear a problem get raised on any level that someone somewhere doesn't say the government should and then insert some idea here. The second pathology isn't just that the government has all the answers, but we have this faith of well-executed government ideas. But I look at things like bike sheds and children's hospitals and, you know, immigration policy, and you just see failure after failure. The fascinating thing is, if you look back over the last 10 years, you will not find anywhere in Irish political news any politician or political party saying our plan isn't that good. If you look back, they're all set to succeed, and yet we've had 10 years of failing. So, like, you have to forgive me for maybe not being blindly faithful that this is the right choice.
So as in from next March, landlords will be told, if you sign up a new tenant, or does it apply to existing ones, that if they're still there, that they can stay, they must be allowed to stay for another 6 years? Is that
so
the regime?
Basically, there's sets of rules that kick in for anything that starts after the 1st of March 2026. So the tenant protections post-March 2026 will come in with new legislation. There'll be tenancies of unlimited duration are to be enhanced by a rolling six-year tenancy of minimum duration for smaller landlords. So they start to discriminate based on the amount that you own as well. So if you're a larger landlord, you know, it might be time to become a small landlord. And if you're a small landlord, it might be a good time to not be a landlord at all. They're saying the end of no-fault evictions for larger landlords. For the smaller landlords, you can only terminate a tenancy during the 6 years where you face hardship, which will be defined in the legislation. For example, separation, homelessness, you know, bankruptcy, things like that. Or you require it for an immediate family member, which again is defined. So it can't be like your brother-in-law. It has to be parent, child, spouse. So they're really restricting.
So, for example, if you had a brother or a sister whose kids were coming to Dublin for college, and you want to provide them with accommodation, you wouldn't be able to do it? Is that?
According to the guideline that was put out on the government website, it says dwelling for an immediate family member. So it does.
Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah, we have to wait, because this is all pie in the sky stuff as well. So a lot of it is probably the usual kite flying, see what sticks, see what people complain about. Maybe we'll change it. Maybe we won't. But the one thing remains the same. We have to intervene. Government has to do something, because government is always the answer forever and everywhere. And that is the thinking that got us to this point
so far. Okay, now, the reason a landlord might want to sell up would be because, number one, they feel they'll be losing control of their property, so they'd rather someone else had the problem. But they can sell only during the six-year period with the tenant in situ. Now, what does that do to a property value?
Well, when you force tenants to remain, or for that tenancy to be able to remain, bearing in mind in many cases there's tenancies that are below market rates because of the national rent controls we have. And by the way, they finally said a national system of rent control is going to be rolled out. They finally admitted, they finally used the words that they were loath to actually say because it was rent pressure zones. The whole country is going to be a rent pressure zone and we will have national rent controls. So when you sell a property,
doesn't that need the kind of granular control? You know, I've often said to them that if you go to other parts of the world, there may be rent control, and they say, you know, if you're in the 8th arrondissement, you may charge so much per square meter. If you're in the other arrondissement, you can only charge Y per square meter. That kind of thing. And obviously, then it becomes a value for money in terms of how well appointed one apartment is over another apartment. That kind of granular detail means inspections, regulation.
Well, we're good at regulation. We're not so good at the follow-up. We're always good at the rules, not so good at the execution. Again, that's part of the national pathology. But what it means if you force a tenant to remain in situ is that those rents imply the value of a property. So if you know that residential property is yielding, say, 6%, and you have this certain rent, then that implies the capital value. And it is actually pretty unfair on a landlord, because there is a concept in property called the owner-occupier's premium. And what that means is if you take a house, say, in Black Rock in Dublin, and then a house, for instance, in East Wall in Dublin, and they are both fairly, you know, similar size, yeah, etc., you say to yourself, well, why are they so different? Well, anyone knows, because it's of the location. But you might find, actually, when you look at what the rental values are, that the rental values aren't a million miles apart from each other. But when people want to buy it, there's this higher amount for the house in BlackRock called the owner-occupier's premium. And it exists because people want to live there. They want their kids to go to the BlackRock schools. They want the BlackRock train, the BlackRock shops, all the Southside stuff. That's what they're into. So this is actually a massive intervention plan. And like all Irish intervention plans, it's not backed by any common sense. That's the one consistent thing we have seen in our housing policy for the last decade.
So what do you think will be the impact if this should come to pass? I mean, we haven't seen the detail of the legislation yet, but I mean, we've got the broad framework. What do you think will be the impact? I mean, will landlords literally run away from the market? Thus, the government might say, freeing up loads of houses to be bought by people.
Well, it won't be bought by people, by the way. It'll be bought by the state. Like, the state has been one of the biggest players in the property market for the last 4 years at least. Now, it finally became a national story because it was written about in the Irish Times, but it's been happening for years. Now, when you take someone and they go, say, from, you know, a tenant into being either a cost rental scheme, because there's some tenant in situ schemes, or where the local authority buy it, they just skip the whole housing queue, the whole housing list. They just went right to the top. I don't know if the people on the housing list feel very fair about that. You know, the current scheme for tenants in situ can help people if your net income is 66,000. But a person who makes 100 grand a year has a net income of 64,000. So they're actually below the threshold. I don't want to help people on 100 grand a year. You know, the government are intervening yet again, and it reduces the supply of houses for families, and families matter for first-time buyers matter. And what we're doing is we're making this choice where we say, look, there's this one situation, again, very good at seeing the first problem in front of our faces. A person might be facing eviction, but that doesn't mean the state has to intervene and buy a house. You know, and this is the thing that is so bothersome.
But isn't the solution, I mean, you could let the free market operate to provide private housing for people who want to buy their housing. But for people who don't see the prospect of ever being able to buy a house, isn't it the job really of local authorities to build, you know, for the bus driver, the nurse, the, you know, building contractor, whatever it might be, the person who's looking to the future and knows they will never have the resources to buy a house. Therefore, they will be renters for life. Mm-hmm. And they can't be renting in the private sector for life because they never be able to afford it into their dotage.
Well, actually, people rent in the private sector for life in lots of different countries. And it's actually not entirely uncommon.
How do you do it? And if you're depending on the state pension, and it's going to be, by the time you retire, maybe 20 grand a year, and your rent is 18 grand a year.
You see, we have put so much into public pensions. We've put so much in so many different ways that make the Irish pension system fairly unsustainable. And that's like a separate conversation for another day, that we don't have an answer for that. But if you look at, you know, there's the Vienna model, which is often touted as being an answer. You know, the houses are smaller. The apartments are smaller. You know, they have walk-up staircases. We don't demand multiple lift cores for every floor. They would have a lot of standards that we say are unacceptable by an Irish standard, but which are perfectly good in many other European countries.
And what I'm trying to say, but are the rents controlled in that situation?
Well, yeah, and well, they are, and but they're actually higher than our social rents. Like our social rents, by the way, not only are they not collected in about, you know, 20% of cases, but they're actually way low. And even if you earned 100,000 and you were in a Dublin City Council house, your maximum rent would be something like €700 a month. Like you can actually do the calculations of your maximum rent in a local authority house. Because in Ireland, when you get a local authority house, you've won the lotto. You have it for life. You could be sitting on your own in a four-bed house now, and you're never asked to move out. We never use our housing stock efficiently.
So the model we should be using is looking at affordability for people and, you know, the idea of local authority housing being handed down from father to son, from mother to daughter.
Well, a lot of that stuff is ending, thankfully. But, I mean, for instance, I wouldn't see it as a national job for taxpayers to ensure that when you get a local authority house that you win the lotto. Even in the cost rental scheme for tenants in situ, it says on the scheme that your rent will be the same as what you were paying in the private market, but with an intention to lower it in the future. Now, if someone is at risk of homelessness because they won't have a house, that's fine. But if they were able to pay that rent, why would you want less money to help pay for public services? What's the intention there?
I read just some of the comments coming in. Surely property rights are enshrined in law. This new approach is very odd. The government literally nationalising rental properties on a six-year basis. Another one asks about student accommodation. Well, you know, the idea that campuses would provide accommodation is probably the best idea because they'd be there for generations to come and are a nice little earner for the colleges once they get the capital to build. I offered to sell my house to Kildare County Council, but they said they weren't purchasing at the moment. I've issued an eviction notice to avoid the lock-in for 6 years. I've housed people for 20 years, but this government is making the life of a landlord impossible. A defining characteristic of Irish politics and public service is Olympic standard incompetence. A lot of risk-averse, pampered, chinless wonders who think they are God's gift.
I need to find whoever wrote that message. I love you. That's just the most perfect.
If you are offering students digs in one's home using the rental room relief, does the rule due to kicking in on the 26th of March apply?
No, because anything to do with rental room, you don't actually have a tenancy. In fact, rental room is kind of great in a way because it helps people make extra money by renting out your room. It's not so great for the person living there because you actually have no rights at all. Like you could be turfed out. Almost no notice. It really is like you are in a no man's land.
Yeah, but I mean, the same would be true of digs as well for anyone and offend the landlady or the landlord and out you go.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll put it this way. If you had someone who was coming home and they were acting loopy and stuff, you do want the right to kick them out. Like you might be living in a house with your kids as well. So there's a rationale for it. I just need to be really clear. You are not a tenant and you effectively have no rights in that situation.
Being forced to sell with the tenant in situ means first-time buyers will not have a chance to buy at all. It's a disgrace that you're being told what to do with your own property and on top of that, the landlord paying 55% tax on the rent. Small landlords being forced out to allow corporate landlords take over. So finally then, Carl, I mean, if the government has got it backwards on this particular scheme, what is the resolution?
Well, look, they've listened to academics for the last 10 years. They've listened to opposition politicians and tried to snake some of their ideas or just throw endless amounts of money at it because that's usually what the government does best. I really think they just need to get a small working group and God forbid another working group as if we need one of them like a hole in the head. But a small group of actual practitioners who punch out loads of housing and say to them, here's the plan and just take all the state land. The state should rezone it for housing. They should say, yeah, we're giving planning permission for this number of units, this number of apartments, and do what's called a Dutch auction. So award the project to whoever can come in the cheapest so we get low cost housing, but a large quantity of it. And other than that, what I said to you the last time I was here, which is we got to let it rip. You got to let it rip.
Carl Dieter, thank you very much for joining us. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.